Good morning, everyone. Today is Sunday, September 16th, 2018. Today, I want to look at hearts of love abounding more and more. Our hearts are already filled with His love, and I do feel safe to say we would all desire to increase the utilization of our gift of agape love from God. God has called us individually to be His children, and He filled us with His gift of Holy Spirit, and He also called us collectively to the one body of which Christ is the head. There are many Christian denominations, as we all know, yet Ephesians 4 instructs that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think back to 2015, there was a movement in Indiana called Revive Indiana. It was done by a ministry out of Texas, and they went to several states and worked with local ministries, all of various denominations. And the head of the movement asked local ministers and their congregations to set aside doctrinal differences for the mission. They all agreed, and Christians from various local denominations joined together. They would go out each day to reach those needing Christ and to pray for the sick. And then in the evenings, they would all gather for fellowship, give testimonies and glory to God for the day's victories. And, you know, that is such a great concept and certainly worthy of duplication. Denominational differences among the born-again ones should be minimized, and our love for others should be maximized. Christ introduced the loving Father to the world, and He is our example. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, and that's where we're going to start out this morning, he prayed for the believers in a prayer. We pray for all the beloved, that our love would abound more and more. In verse 9 of Philippians 1, it reads, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now, these believers in Philippi were already loving disciples. Paul had brought the gospel to these folks. They responded. They had supported Paul along his way. So, you know, he's not just praying for them to become loving, but that the love they already have, that that love would abound more and more. And as we'll see, that love being able to abound more and more is based on increasing in a thorough knowledge of the Word and in the moral compass to live it appropriately. You can see that in the next verse, because he goes on, "that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." And what I find so genuine about Paul's prayer, it can be found in the beginning verses of this same chapter 1. There are valuable lessons here about the heart of God and the heart of a servant of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Paul refers, he says, he is thankful. So here we have the heart of the servant of Jesus Christ. This is the heart of a servant. He is thankful for the believers upon every remembrance of them. In verse 4, the quality of the love in his heart is on absolute display, and it's stunning. He says, "Because in every prayer for you, I make request with joy." So, in every prayer, his requests are made with joy. It is not a drudgery for him to pray for these believers and to be thankful for them. It is the joy of his day. Verse 5, elaborates that he has been thankful for them since the first day he met them. You know, I guess the first day he met them was answering the call to come to Macedonia, and he found the women on the river bank praying. But he was thankful for them since that very day. In verse 6, he explains that he sees them as God sees them, and he is confident that God will perform his work in them until the return of Christ. On in verse 7, Paul clarified that his practice of thinking highly of the believers was meet, which means he was thinking, feeling, and acting in total confirmation to the will of God. He was conformed in his thinking to look at the believers the way God looked at them. As Larry shared, I guess it was back in July, in his teaching, Like-Minded with Christ, meet, the word meet, M-E-E-T, designates the perfect agreement between God's nature and his acts. And shouldn't that be our standard? Of course. That's certainly how our Lord Jesus Christ lived. And in verse 8, we see how greatly he longed after their welfare. His desire was just, he had such a passion that he would withhold no good thing that would help them to prosper in every aspect of life, emotionally, materially, of course, spiritually in their growth. He wanted them to be there. And Paul became a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. He did that by patterning his thoughts, his heart, and behavior in life after his master. By the freedom of his will, Paul became a true minister, a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though Paul had the right degree and the purest pedigree, here was his conclusion to the whole matter. He says in Philippians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 7. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me? All those credentials, those pedigrees." He says, "Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of many things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." And of course, Paul was pretty good at knowing that. "But that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So Paul's heart was on fire to make known, to be genuine. And that's where it begins. Each individual has Holy Spirit, and each individual chooses to be genuine and then sets his or her heart on fire with God's word. Paul had achieved all the worldly measurements of authenticity and acclaim, and they molded him into a hater and a murderer. So you can see why he was glad to give all that up. But then on the road to Damascus, he met up face to face with one thing, the love of God. And that love set him free. And he did not look back, except to give testimony to the glory of God's love. Ephesians chapter 3, he speaks some more. He says, starting in verse 7, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Look at verse 14 and we'll continue on. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See how bowed over Paul was? He couldn't even stand up straight. He was bowed over at the greatness of God's plan and provision for his children. He could hardly fathom such love, and especially poured out to such a hater as he. Goes on in 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So Paul saw the love of God through the eyes of an understanding heart, and he wanted every single beloved one to see it as clearly as he did. Paul got it. He got it that God commended his love to him, and while he was yet a sinner, Christ died for him. So to Paul, it definitely was pretty personal. Acts 22 has his touching record of the conversion. He had been an enemy of God. He was on his way to Damascus to search out men and women who followed the teachings of Jesus, and his mission was to bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. And lo and behold, Jesus interrupted his trip, and Paul's life turned around. Yes, God's love is tender. But now think about it in a situation like this, how powerful God's love is. There is nothing on anywhere. There's nothing anywhere more powerful than God's love. His love has absolutely no equal. The truth is, love overcomes evil. Consider this man, an enemy of the true God, who was transformed into a true minister to bring God's love and light to the Gentiles, and even to reveal to the church the great mystery. Romans 2:4 says, it warns us not to underestimate God's goodness that leads man to repentance. We should not underestimate. Oh, it's love. Oh, it's grace. Oh, it's goodness. You know, those aspects of God's love are powerful. We read another time in previous teachings and have talked about it often, that it's strong to the pulling down of strongholds. Jeremiah 31:3 tells of God's everlasting love and how his loving kindness draws us to him. Well, as we manifest that love, guess what? That love has that same ability. It is the same love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Doesn't it cause your desire to flourish more and more in this transformational love of God? Sure. It certainly was that way for Paul. He went on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, one chapter over, verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. And he was a prisoner by choice. He wasn't a prisoner by choice when he was imprisoned, but he was by choice a prisoner of the Lord. beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor is a controversy, it's just a tumult of controversy, and evil speaking, let those be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now in verse 30, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, here's an interesting thought. Where is the Holy Spirit of God? Isn't it in each one of us? Isn't the Holy Spirit of God in you? Sure. So what this verse, one way to look at this is, don't grieve yourself. Don't grieve yourself with bitterness, anger, wrath, evil speaking. You know, God, just like he can't be tempted, he can't be grieved. Those would just be figures of speech. But we can grieve ourselves, that's for sure. We should learn the aspects of worldly involvement that bring us captive to bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking. We're all out here. We're all leading our own paths of life. We come up against things in a day's time. And I'm sure because of our educational aspects, because of our employment choices, we are in different venues, so to speak, of life. And therefore, we're subject, perhaps, to something a little different than the next person. So it could be a lack of forgiveness over a previous injury. It could be a relationship that has gone bad, that's brought you captive to bitterness or made you angry, made you speak badly of the other person. Or have maybe we blamed God for an unanswered prayer in not understanding prayer the way the Bible teaches it, and not understanding into believing that God is good always and he is faithful. Or perhaps the news of the day sinks its hooks into us. Or how about politics? Or just how about the injustices in life that we see every day as we move about throughout the systems of the world? Well, this is one thing we have to remember. Being born again, our citizenship is in heaven. The truth is, we have been rescued from this world along with all of its problems. Our most precious perspective as we greet each new day is, we are just passing through. And there is nothing is to receive more of our passion than loving God and our neighbors, loving his word, desiring to abound more and more with a loving heart. So we should focus on pouring forth the goodness, his forbearance, his patience, all those things that are part of his love, because those are the things that lead others to repentance the first time, and they're things that lead us to repentance as we err from the truth and desire to get back on the right course. God has assured us that by way of renewing our minds, we avoid becoming conformed to this world. We won't be squeezed into its mold to cause our hearts to grieve, to cause the Holy Spirit of God within us to be grieved that we are not living and utilizing that gift. We can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In any area, if we are grieving the Holy Spirit within us, stop, drop, and repent. Our days are to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Yes, of course, the word does say there will be tribulations, but it also says we are overcomers. We don't have to become bogged down in the middle of the world. Our trust in our Father will hide us, deliver us, preserve us. My peace I give unto you. That's what we're to dwell within. So the surroundings may be harassing, they may be tumultuous, they may be challenging. We may not even be able to see how a situation is going to transform for the better. However, God's commitment of love to us is that we will be safe in that situation and we will prevail. You think of John 3:16, thinking of God's plan for life. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that was always God's plan, and it is still in effect. We might have first learned about it the first time we read John 3:16 or heard about it or saw it held up at a football game, but it's always been in God's heart. And since God has no beginning and no end, there's really no way to put a date on his plan. And that is why eternal life with that gift of love inside is so secure. His love is his commitment to us. God is spirit, so his love is spiritual. It's supernatural. Agape love has always existed because God is love. And here are just a few definitions that we've kind of gathered over the spring and summer. Some of these we gathered together for our weekend. So this will be a little review for some of you, but agape is the apex of his committed nature. It is the highest form of love. It's in a league of its own because it's boundless, measureless, fathomless, and endless. It is pure. There's no trace element of anything contrary to pure love. And when I say trace elements, things that would affect love in a bad way, like emotions. There's no feeling there. It's a commitment. It exercises sacrificial giving without expecting anything in return. We don't hold out that badge of love as a motivation to get kindness back from someone or to get someone to be on our side. It is a sacrificial giving, and that's why we are able to love those who hate us. That's why we are able to love those that would oppose the movement of God. I mean, you think back about Paul. I mean, that's kind of the ultimate example in the Word of loving the unlovely. It's a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above one's own. So in that sense, it is selfless, unconditional, and it is an infinite compassion. God's love, God's agape love, is free from desires and expectations, and it loves regardless of flaws and shortcomings. There is absolutely no personal agenda to loving God, to loving others. Love accepts and forgives. It will never end. God is love. He has no beginning and he has no end. And it will never fail because it is always at work Love is always loving. It's a divine love. There is nothing natural about it. Mankind is incapable of generating such a love as this. Agape love is poured out in the heart of the believer through the gift of Holy Spirit. It is put there by God, and that's it. So when we talk about, discuss, or teach on the love of God, we are definitely into a subject that is vast and immense. One might laugh, and people have, believe me, that Beloved of God has been teaching on God's love since 2001. But you know what? Every day, just like Paul, he grew in his understanding of the love. He grew from being confronted just head on. He ran head on into God's love on the road to Damascus. But then he started to see the four dimensions of that love. He grew in that love. And he wanted believers to see that. So, you know, there's still plenty to say about the love of God, because every subject that is covered in the Word of God, and that's every subject that pertains to life and godliness, it is to be viewed and can only be understood through the love nature of God. The things of God will not make sense to the natural man. So only at the new birth can man receive God's agape love by receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. Romans tells us, I mentioned it earlier, God poured it forth into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Paul so wanted the believers to know the four-dimensional love of God, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Reflect on how much he was thankful for how often he spoke in tongues. You know, there is a serious correlation there. Paul understood things and explained them and was able to take the problematic issues in the church and show people a way out. He was able to get people from walking in error back to walking in light. And all those things are wrapped up in the gift of Holy Spirit, and he spoke in tongues much. And I just envision him having an issue, laying down at night, falling asleep speaking in tongues, and then the next morning just waking up bubbling because the answers were just flowing. You can't wait to get out of bed and start walking out on what God has shown you in your understanding. So God, by way of his gift within us, reveals it to us. And we're able to begin that dialogue by our speaking in tongues. We can know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. But it has to do with us building ourselves up on our most holy faith. According to the will of God, as was with the Apostle Paul, it is the prayer on all of our lips and hearts that our love would abound more and more. It is God's power coming together. We love all of the brethren, and we love those who do not love us, knowing that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. And that word lead is kind of to set a hold on and carry along. So that love of God, it is powerful. It attaches and it draws and it leads. It's a wonderful thing to consider. So what a design whereby the one body, even though we may be geographically separated, or maybe we're denominationally separated, we all don't go to the same fellowships, even in the same town perhaps, but we can live powerfully in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we're never going to let the enemy tell us that there are so few Christians in the world today. Just look at the dominant voice in our culture, Hollywood. Well, they might be dominant at the movie theater, but, you know, We can never fall for Satan's lie that Christians are becoming few and far between, because I think we're just getting started, and we pray for our love to abound more and more. So let's think on these things and allow our love to abound more and more in knowledge. And that's an accurate knowledge. Because we speak in tongues, we thank God for giving us understanding of his word and in all judgment. And just want to repeat Philippians 1, verses 10 and 11. This is the whole goal, that we may approve things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So we will be back with you next week, and much love to each and every one of you. Let's go through this week really focusing on the considerations and needs in our lives so that we can push forward to love more and more. God bless you.